baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to another Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this at the normal time, so we'll get this out because there's a big game tonight at Foxborough. And I say big, meaning a game to bet on, not necessarily a lot of mystique. With the Patriots now laying 17, 41 and a half. Number over-under has been crashing down. We're going to get into that with Mr. Executive Director. John Murray's going to join us momentarily. No Mike Clay. Mike Clay is out sick, so hope he feels better. Never fun to be under the weather. And Travis, I was almost out sick today with a little case of the Dodgers blues.
Sometimes you just got to suck it up. Your team takes an L, you got to come in and handle. That's the worst part about working here is when your team loses, everybody knows it.
You know, I have a boss who's really cool, and he texted me just recently. He said, sorry, period.
Well, that's kind because around here, most times when your team loses, everybody roots against your team because that's just how it is.
How the hell did Red Sox fans do a century of this? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, look, I've got the Lakers. I think I've won like 12 titles in my lifetime, so I can't complain about the Lakers ever. Got the Raiders one when I was really young. They stink, though. And the Dodgers in 88 was like the peak of, you know, probably my favorite moment as a child, but it's getting up there. It's over 30 years, man.
Alcohol.
Yeah. That usually is the solution.
But drink your sorrows away.
So, no Mike Clay. We're going to have Murray momentarily. We have a few plays. I got to get caught up in the bonanza here. But lots to unpack. Let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys that work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Oh, boy. Lot to digest, Mr. Executive Director.
Yeah,
well, one of us had to be happy. One of us was going to be happy.
I know. It's crazy. I was surprised they brought Joe Kelly back out for a second inning. I don't know. I mean, I thought that the first home run Kershaw gave up was just a great piece of hitting by Rendon. I mean, he went really low to kind of golf that ball out of the park. And then he just left that pitch up to Soto and paid the price, obviously.
I don't know why he's there to face Soto.
Well, didn't the Dodgers had that one guy whose whole job in the series was to get Soto out, right?
Adam Kolarik, yeah. And,
yeah, that was like his whole bit was that he was going to be the guy that would get Juan Soto out. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say it now, of course, but why didn't they bring him in to face Soto in a one-run game?
Well, that's the thing. I don't. It's Kolarik, and then you go to Maeda. It's like very simple, then Jansen for the ninth. Now, there's no guarantee of Jansen the ninth, but it's mind-boggling.
You've got a guy whose whole job in the series is to get Juan Soto out. They made that clear from game one of that series, and it's 3-2, and Juan Soto is up. You got to bring him in, right? I don't know.
Especially because they're so by the book.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't know. It might cost Dave Roberts his job. A lot of talent on that Dodgers team. For them to be going out in the first round is pretty disappointing.
Well, if he made the call against analytics, then he is going to get fired because usually he's not making the call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I was fired up when they brought him in for Adam Eaton and everything. And, you know, I'm still on record saying I wanted him to start game seven of the 2017 World Series.
Sure. I remember that. I thought it was crazy. Howie Kendrick was the worst player on either team in that series until he hits the grand slam in the 10th inning. I mean, he was brutal in that series. I think he committed three errors. I know he grounded into an inning-killing double play last night earlier in the game. He comes in and hits a grand slam in the top of the 10th. It's an unbelievable moment for him.
So we're on to the next series. I blame Hader. Yeah. I blame Hader for not closing the door against your Nats in the wild card game. That was my
yeah. The Nats are dangerous because of their starting pitching. And we put the series price up this morning. We've got the Nationals minus $1.30 against the Cardinals, and they're a tough out in any series just because their starting pitching is so good. I know the Cardinals have Jack Flaherty. He's a true ace for them, but the Cardinals can't stack up against Washington pitcher for pitcher. Few teams can.
Well, I think the Nats lineup is better too.
I think it is too. The only question is the Nats bullpen is always a concern. Although obviously game 3 was disastrous, but they had some good moments in the LDS.
And what would you make the Yankees against the Rays?
That's a good question. Yeah, all we've talked about is Yankees Astros. We've never really talked about that too much. I mean, Yankees would be a good size favorite. Obviously, they'd have home field. I mean, I'm thinking maybe somewhere in the area of 200.
That's it?
You think higher than that? I don't know. The Rays look tough. I mean, the Rays have completely outplayed Houston in this series. And I know it's 2-2, but the Rays have really outplayed the Astros.
And also the rest, the game, too. The way the rotations would line up.
That's true. I guess the Rays would have to. Yeah, I mean, maybe a little higher than 200, but I think if you start getting up into the 300 range that Houston was against the Yankees, you've definitely gone too high, in my opinion. I mean, both of those games in Houston could have gone either way, and then the Rays won the two games at home pretty easily against the Astros. They've been very impressive in the playoffs.
What would you make, given that they have to use Cole in Game 7, what would you make, or Game 5, what would you make the seven-game series in the ALCS with the Yankees and Stros?
Yeah, well, it's got to come down. I mean, we had betting on that at minus 200. Now you've got Cole being used. You mentioned the rest the Yankees have had. I think you're going to see it more like 170, 180 on the Astros. Houston still with a big advantage. Houston will still have a big advantage in the starting pitching, though. I mean, just look at these game-to-game prices in this series against Tampa Bay. Even Game 4, where they lost, they were like minus 230 or 240 on the road. It just the math there, because of Houston's starting pitching being so good, they've got to be a pretty decent favorite in the series.
Interesting stuff. All right, buddy. Let's talk NFL now. And you mentioned on the College Pod that the Dolphins-Redskins game, you're getting asked about in every media interview.
Yeah, it's all anybody wants to talk about this week. Pretty much the only games I get asked about in the NFL this week are the game tonight, New York and New England, and the big Redskins-Miami game on Sunday.
What's the handle going to be on the Skins-Dolphins game?
There's very little money on it here, at least at the Westgate. You know, it's at 10 a.m., which always hurts handle because there's a lot more games to choose from. Although I will say the NFL did do a much better job scheduling their games this week than last week. Although it would be impossible to do worse than they did last week.
I was going to say,
last week the 10-2. This week they're going 1-6-4. So a much better breakdown of the games. I don't think that it's going to be a heavily bet game, to answer your question. I think it's more people just like talking about it. Fewer people are actually interested in investing hard-earned money on that game. I don't know how you can bet either side, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I think if I was going to bet the game, if I had to, I would take Washington just because I think Miami is trying to lose. But I'm not in a rush to lay points with the Redskins.
No coaching sort of spark?
Well, I heard Bill Callahan wants to take the offense back to like the dark ages and run the ball on every play. And I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He sounds like a guy that is just not paying any attention to modern football whatsoever.
I would go under 41 in that game.
Yeah, the only problem there is, you know, the turnovers from both of these quarterbacks could lead to some really short fields. Of course, they would still have to punch the ball in after they get a turnover. So you might be on the right track there.
We have Colt McCoy. Are we going to have a Prince of Props play?
I thought it was Keenum was going.
Oh, he is? I missed that one.
I thought so. I mean, I honestly try not to pay attention to the Redskins, and I frankly don't even think it matters who the quarterback is. But I thought I read that it was Case Keenum this week.
Interesting. I'll have to get back to my notes there. Let's.
What's the difference? What's the difference? I mean, is there any difference at all between Keenum and McCoy at this point? Aren't they just both equally terrible? Yeah. Ian Rappaport tweeted out the Redskins are expecting to start quarterback Case Keenum this week. Okay. Colt McCoy back to the bench. So,
Callahan.
I don't really think it makes a difference to the point spread though.
So let's talk about the other big game that you get asked about, tonight's Giants Patriots. Now, I've been itching to fade the Patriots. I really am. I think Brady's showing his age. I think they've obviously, you're getting a lot of points against them, but I don't think this is the spot with all the injuries for the Giants.
It's tough. I mean, the Giants had a lot of guys hurt on offense. I mean, Brady's showing his age, but I mean, if you really watch the Patriots, I know people get bent out of shape when I say this, but all Brady's really been doing for the last, what, half dozen years is just wait for his wide receivers to come wide open across the middle and just dump the ball off to him. And he can basically run that offense with his eyes closed. He knows that offense so well. I mean, I think the Patriots will be absolutely fine against that New York defense tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of dump-offs like it usually is, but particularly with the Giants.
Well, that's all it usually
linebacker,
is. Yeah.
Linebacker injuries. But any sharp play on this? Because the line's obviously gone up to 17 here.
I don't know that I'd call it sharp play. Just some big bets on the Patriots. Actually, some big bets back on the Giants. It's really a pretty good two-way. To tell you the truth, the two-way action on this game has been great. We've got a lot of money on both sides. We're going to need the Giants because so many parlays this week are going to start out with the Patriots. But at least as of right now, early Thursday morning, we don't have a really big decision on the game because there have been a lot of takers on the Giants as well.
And the total has come down, obviously, with the reports of rain and wind here. It was, I'm seeing 45 at the apex and now down to 41.5, touched 41 yesterday.
Yeah, we're at 41.5 right now. I do see some of the offshore books going up to 42 this morning. But, yeah, the total has come down throughout the week. You're absolutely right about that.
46.5, I stand corrected, I think I saw.
Wow.
I'm seeing on the grid here. That's where it was.
A lot of injuries to the Giants offense, too. That's not good for the over. It's a lot to ask of Mr. Danny Dimes to go on the road against Bill Belichick on 3 days, you know, 3 day work week. And he's got most of his top offensive weapons out of the lineup. Hey, talk about being set up for failure tonight.
Yeah, it's a very grim situation. Gosh, I'm tempted to do first quarter under as well. You really only need like a punt.
Yeah, we got a 7.5 under minus 30 for the first quarter.
Yeah,
the problem is, that, you know, if New England gets the ball first, they might just go right down the field and score a touchdown. I mean, you can't – don't forget how bad the Giants' defense is. I mean, even Kirk Cousins was picking them apart on Sunday.
Well, so if the Patriots get the ball and go down, how quickly do they score?
I mean, they could score very quickly depending on how bad that Giants
– But with the dump-offs, with the short underneath passing.
That's their offense. I mean, they, you know,
so like 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes. I mean, that's the offense they run. I'm not really being critical. I'm just saying that's all they do is they run those screens. They screen the defenders and they have receivers come open and Brady always hits them. I'll give you that. He always makes the throws.
Yeah, and then the Giants can go 3 and out in like a minute and a half. Incomplete.
Yeah, they could with all their – the New England defense is – it's got to be the best Patriots defense we've seen in a decade at least.
Well, it has, but we got to also see it against real teams. They've played the easiest schedule.
They've played a ridiculously easy schedule. There's no question about that. But they did it to the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, they're good. I mean, I'm not going to say they're bad, but let's...
They held Kansas City scoreless in the AFC Championship game, too. I mean, they've been very impressive.
This is true.
The first half of the AFC Championship game, I should say. That's what I meant.
Let's go to London for the early kickoff, 6:30 West Coast. You going to be at the book by then?
No, I won't be in at 6:30 in the morning. You know, there's really not that many people here that early. Jeff will be here. Sherman will be here. There will be some people filtering into the book at that time, but it's really not good for business. People think that it would be, I guess, because it's like another island game, but it's really not. It's too early. I would imagine it's probably good for the books back on the East Coast having a 9:30 game.
Yeah,
but it's just too early for us out here. And you'd think that people would plan ahead and get their bets in the night before, but they don't. So it's usually a pretty low-handled game for us, at least historically.
So this line was pick 'em, and I'm surprised it's moved up. You guys are at 2.5?
Yeah, a lot of injuries to the Buccaneers would be the reason for that. So Tampa Bay is a pretty banged-up team. We got Carolina
line,
minus,
right?
Yeah, and we got Carolina minus 2.5 right now, and I think that's just a response to all the injuries that we're seeing for the Bucs. It was, I think, an open pick or open Carolina 1, and it's been pushed up to 2.5 here.
Yeah, it was pick. It opened pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the injuries to the right side of the offensive line is a big thing. It's always interesting because we hear about injuries, but it's not like they're playing with no offensive linemen. They're just playing with the backups, and we sometimes get carried
away.
Well,
we saw the backup offensive lineman for Dallas last week. So, you know, it can make a big difference when you've got the reserves in, even at the offensive line position. The same way it'll make a big difference if you have the reserves in at the offensive skill positions.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying in general. I mean, look, how much – like the Steelers, the third string quarterback, is he like that? I think he's better than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a harder one to quantify because you're not going from a starting quarterback like Roethlisberger. You're going from a guy that was already a backup to another backup. Rudolph at least has a lot more experience in the offense than Hodges does.
Next game on the card, and I'm worried I'm going to go down in my survivor pools.
Baltimore?
Yeah. I think I have to take them, but I just don't trust that defense. And Cincinnati,
I'm guessing you already used New England.
Yeah, I've used the Patriots.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you could do besides take Baltimore. Do you want to trust the Chargers?
No, not at all.
I mean, the Chargers, they certainly should win, and the Cowboys should win, but I don't know how you could possibly take anybody other than the Ravens this week.
What are the power ratings for like Cincy versus the other bad teams?
As far I would say that I don't think they're that much better than Washington, if they're even better than Washington is. I mean, they're certainly better than Miami, but they're way down there, and they're a team that I've been very disappointed in this year. I thought that just getting rid of Marvin Lewis, they would get so much better, just going from Marvin Lewis to anybody. And they started off well. They really, in a lot of ways, should have beat Seattle on the road in week one. But looking back on that game, you have to think that the Seahawks just looked past them because the Bengals have shown nothing since that first game.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the stranger results we've had this season.
Well, you got to think Seattle just took them lightly, and they barely escaped with the W there. And the Bengals, they were so bad in that Monday night game against Pittsburgh, and they're a complete disaster. Another just complete disaster, along with Washington and Miami. At least the Jets have an excuse. You know, you lose your starting quarterback and your backup quarterback. There's just only so much you can do. The Bengals, the Redskins, they don't have any excuse.
Yeah, this line seems high, though. 11.5 feels pretty high. But the Ravens are kind of one of those teams that could just win by 40. They're kind of the bully team that I talk about, like Maryland is in college, where they get these inferior opponents and they just run up the score. I think Ravens
like
are
Penn
like
State.
That. Yeah,
Penn State's like that, too. Mm-hmm. Penn State's a big bully. Yeah, no, the Ravens are like that. And I think a lot of people got carried away talking about how good the Ravens were after their first two games. Like, people were talking about Lamar Jackson as a league MVP. Well, their first two games were against Miami and Arizona. So he might go nuts again on Sunday, but it's just against the Bengals. So the Ravens, they've just been beating up on bad teams so far this year.
Since he has shown flashes of competence, like not just that Seattle game you alluded to, but even at Buffalo, got a little hairy there in the second half. And about last week, I mean, granted, they were at home to Arizona. They should have showed competence, but...
better show some flashes when you're at home against the Cardinals. Yeah, I would hope so.
I'm thinking I might have to grab the points here.
Yeah, the number does look a little bit high, but not a game that I would get involved in personally.
So we saw movement on the Browns game. It was, I think, 2.5 or two.
Yeah,
maybe?
2.5.
Before Monday night.
Yeah, the game goes off the board for the Monday night game. It gets reopened. Right now, Seattle is -1. And I can tell you that even at that adjusted point spread, Seattle's getting about 6-1 on the tickets. So everybody is betting on the Seahawks like crazy here. I actually think it's a good spot for the Browns, with everybody just writing them off after that bad loss on Monday night to the 49ers. So, 49ers are better than people realize. You know, the 49ers are a good team. They were at home. They're off of a bye week. Acting like that was such a disgraceful loss for the Browns, I think, is very inaccurate.
Yeah, and the drop on the goal line on third down that ended up being an interception return to midfield, too. So it was a 14-10 game. The guy just catches it. Mm-hmm. And who knows what happens. I mean, I think the Niners win because they're dominating the rushing attack, but it's not as lopsided. I'll say this. The scheduling situation is really weird. So both Seattle and the Rams played on Thursday night. And they're getting all this rest, and they're playing the two teams that faced each other Monday night.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's
weird. I
hadn't
even thought about that.
It's 10 days for each of – so that's what's going to keep me off the Browns. I can't – I mean, you listen to these guys and their bodies and everything. Like, I just think the extra – it's just weird. At least Cleveland's at home.
They got to get rid of the Thursday games. Why don't we just play two Monday night games every week? I know I've said that before, but it's worth repeating. How is that not better for the whole league to have two Monday night games instead of the stupid Thursday game?
Well, I'm not going to figure out the NFL, and we're not going to do it here on the podcast.
No, we're not. All
so,
right, that's fair.
But
that's fair.
So that has me off Cleveland. That situation. And
well, the next
and I got we got to figure out like what the heck's going on with that offense, because I know Orlovsky's broken it down a little bit. There's a Ringer article I have in the Pocket app of my iPhone that I need to read. That's basically saying what the hell's going on with this Cleveland offense, because they have horrible offensive line and they're not using chip blocks or anything to help Mayfield. And Mayfield's not that good either. We're realizing he's a one read quarterback, as Booger was talking about on Monday night. And he's just kind of skittish. Like, guys are open. He's not throwing it. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Baker right now. I mean, I know everybody's blaming Freddie Kitchens, the coach, but Baker, I've seen a lot of times where he's had guys open and he hasn't made the throws. And they certainly have the talent at wide receiver with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. I think they need to go to Nick Chubb more, because I think he's one of the best running backs in the league. But, man, like, if Baker can't succeed with this talent around him, he's got issues.
Well, to your point, it's decision-making. I think maybe the old habits die hard with the improvising at Oklahoma. But I think he needs to take what the defense gives you. And I think he's the one who audibled against the Rams on that to that 4th-and-9 draw. So just from the video, it sounds like it was not a Kitchens call, even though Kitchens took the fall for it.
Yeah. Well, that was questionable. Let's say, can we say that?
Interesting
Baker,
game. Oh, sorry.
Baker's a young quarterback, though. I'm sorry, Doug. Baker's a young quarterback. I mean, I think people sometimes they get carried away criticizing these young quarterbacks. He's only started, what, maybe 15 games in the NFL. So he's got a lot of room to grow.
Next game on the card, really good one with the Chiefs hosting the Texans. KC upset on Sunday night. You know, I'm very upset. The NFL, and I talked about this with humans yesterday with college games at all, but you really got to be prepared to bet the team that looked the worst the week before. And the Colts was such a bet-on spot. I mean, it was such an obvious spot. I can't believe I didn't do it.
Well, then Kansas City is your bet this week. You know, we had this number, Kansas City -8, before we closed it for the Sunday night game. Now, I know the Chiefs are a very banged-up team right now, but this number's come all the way down to 4.5. We did have one guy actually bet -5 for 20,000 earlier in the week, but there's been a lot of buyback on Houston, so we're all the way down to 4.5 right now. This could be a good buy spot for the Chiefs. Very bad performance from them offensively on Sunday Night Football. Maybe consider that if you're looking for a market overreaction spot this week. It could be Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I see some fours in the market. That feels really cheap. I think a lot depends, and Collinsworth talked about it on the broadcast, on how having Sammy Watkins even, but more so, can't believe I'm blanking on the name, the fast wide receiver.
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Tyreek Ward. Hill. I'm like, no, it's not. It's Hill. Four letters. So Tyreek Hill just stretches the defense. You force the safety, and it just opens everything up. Now, with that being said, Williams dropped a touchdown pass on third down in the end zone in the first half, and then the Shady McCoy fumble on the screen inside the 10, I want to say, change the game as well. So this is not a Kansas City offense that's completely shut down by the Colts, and they chewed clock. I don't think Houston's going to have the running game to chew clock and do all that. I think we're looking at a shootout here. And KC's the right side. I think this game kind of plays out kind of like the Ravens game, maybe a backdoor cover like the Ravens, but I think this is a big game, big high scoring game.
Well, I think the interesting thing will be how the Houston defense approaches Mahomes. I mean, Belichick sort of showed you the playbook on how to stop him in the AFC Championship game with the man-to-man coverage. We saw Detroit utilize that a couple of weeks ago. We saw the Colts do it on Sunday night. If we assume that Bill O'Brien is paying any attention, I would imagine he'll go with a similar game plan. And certainly the Kansas City receivers being hurt is another big factor there.
Right. And the ankle. The ankle's a big thing, too. Now, we had Jeremy Fowler on the Daily Wager show yesterday, and he said that, like, Mahomes is like, feels great. Now, you know, we learn in journalism classes and things like that, you can only report what they say. You don't know for sure it's accurate, right? He said he feels great, but we don't know if the ankle feels great, right?
Well, he's a young man, Doug. He doesn't – his nicks and bruises aren't going to last as long as ours.
That's so, true. When we were his age, we recovered just fine from our Vegas injuries.
I slept on my shoulder bad the other day, and I've been in pain for like 3 weeks. So, you know, being an old man is tough, but Patrick Mahomes is still a young man.
I hurt my back coughing the other day.
I just asked a buddy of mine, he runs the sports book at Circa, Matt Metcalf, to play golf with me next week, and he said his back is hurting him too much, and he's like, I don't know, I'll let you know. So just getting old sucks, dude. I mean, we can't even go golf on our days off anymore. We're so old now.
Well, it's funny. I was getting a massage, like a sports injury massage therapist thing, not like a spa massage. And I asked him about golf, and he just looked at me. He's like, it's literally the worst thing you can do for your back. I mean, just think about like all the contortions and everything, the impact. And it's literally the worst thing.
You want to play golf, you idiot?
So, I don't know how we're able to do it all these years to begin with.
Yeah.
Game I don't want to watch because I don't know why I haven't been intrigued by the Saints team with Bridgewater, but it should be a good game the more I think about it with Gardner Minshew. But Jacksonville laying 1.5 here to New Orleans.
We got Jacksonville 1.5. This was the pick that our group gave to Mr. Brent Musburger for his VSIN Super Contest entry. Reverse line movement here. I mean, I talked about it a little bit on the college podcast. Tickets about 6-1 on New Orleans, and we're seeing the number move a little bit the other way. Not big line movement. I mean, going from pick 'em to -1.5 is really not much of a move. You don't really see NFL games land one too often. I mean, famous last words. I know that happened last Thursday in the Seattle-LA game, but it's very unusual. But the number has moved towards Jacksonville, even though everybody's betting on the Saints. So that's one thing to keep an eye on.
A little bat signal?
I think so. I think Jacksonville's the right side in this game.
I do too.
And New Orleans, they've had a really tough schedule since Breeze went out, and I give them a lot of credit for being 3-0 without Breeze. It's incredibly impressive. But I think this is a tough spot on the calendar for the Saints here, going on the road against Jacksonville. Tough to see them really getting up for this game.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a flat spot. And I got to come clean here, Murray. We had a bat signal last weekend, and we didn't. It was too close to kickoff. I didn't tweet it out. But you nailed it. We should have talked about it yesterday on the pod.
Michigan, Iowa. Yeah, that was one where, you know, the money was really, everybody was betting Iowa, and we saw the number go up. It got as low as 3.5 on Michigan. Michigan -3.5 was a good bet. Because I know that the like Circa and some of the offshore books, they had opened closer to 7. And I think that was probably the right number. I'm not just saying that because the final score was 10-3. I'm just saying I think that the closer to 7 was probably the right number. And it got all the way down to 3.5, which was a little bit much.
Right, but the ticket count overwhelmingly on the underdog.
Oh, yeah.
And the line
people
was
were betting
up.
Iowa. And one of my favorite moments of college football last week is when it was 10-3 Michigan, and Iowa had the ball like around midfield with 4 minutes left, and Joel Klatt said something about them getting into field goal range to cut it to 10-6. I'm pretty sure it was Joel Klatt.
It was. I actually tweeted it.
And that was probably my biggest laugh of the day on Saturday. Yeah, you got to get that. When you're down by 7 with 4.5 minutes to go, you got to make sure you can get into field goal range there to cut it to 4.
And it's not like it's the Louisiana App State game either when the total's 70. This was like a slugfest. They hadn't found the end zone all day. I just don't get it, how people like can't comprehend this. I mean, for example.
I don't know either, and you're spot on. I mean, it's not like they have a lot of chances to score offensively. And that was why I was so critical of, I mean, look, it wasn't going to matter in the grand scheme of things, but when Miami of Ohio kicked that field goal against Ohio State about a month ago, I know they were going to get blown out anyway. I'm not saying that, but if you're Miami of Ohio, you're all the way down to the 2 or the 3 yard line. You're not going to get down here again, guys. You got to go for it. You kick a field goal to go up 5-0. It's just ridiculous.
You know, but here's the thing. Things evolve, right? Look what the three-pointer has done. Look at the opener with the Rays. I used to say this like 10 years ago. I'm like, if all these relievers are great, why don't I just throw all of them one inning? And it's sure enough it's happening. Now, that's obviously if you have guys like Gerrit Cole, you shouldn't. But we're going to see. Like, so yesterday, the Cardinals put up 10 runs in the first inning. The objective of all this is to win the World Series. Like, don't you pull Flaherty? Don't you pull Flaherty? Make him throw one or two innings and start him game one?
I can say, as a Nationals fan, I was very happy to see him in there for 6 innings.
There's no clock in baseball, so I get it. And, like, obviously if the Cardinals put up 10, they can give up 10 as well. But you have to work backwards and think about this stuff. And I'm not saying they should have necessarily. I'm saying I would have given it serious thought. Maybe I would have done it. It's easy to say that you would have done it in case – I just think these things in like X amount of years will be done.
Well, I think that the counter, because I said the same thing as you, but I think the counter argument is, you know, it's his turn in the rotation. He's been pointing towards pitching on this day. But if that's the case, and I don't think that's a bad argument, when it was 13-0 in the fourth inning, maybe then you get him out of there. Because then he's got some work in. The game is over. You're not going to blow a 13-0 lead. And you can keep him a little bit more fresh for the next round. Like, maybe you don't pull him before he starts the game, but what is he doing in there in the fifth inning when it's 13-0? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so my point is, we're going to see, look, we even saw your boy Jason Garrett go for it on his own territory against the Saints on Sunday night a couple weeks ago, and he looked so uncomfortable. He looked so uncomfortable with that decision.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part.
Jason Garrett is a brilliant coach.
They're doing things, like I would have punted there, but they're doing things that don't make sense because they still don't grasp it, but they're doing it because they think that's like the smart thing to do, but they don't really like think it out.
Well, at least they're listening. They're listening to someone. I mean, you got to give anyone credit if they take an opinion from somebody that works for them that's smart and they actually listen to it and they apply it. I would always give somebody credit for doing that, for being open-minded and for thinking outside the box. To me, that's always a good thing.
Right. Makes sense. Okay, we are on to Minneapolis. Kirk Cousins, another one of your guys. They got healthy. They got right against the Giants last week. This is a good game. Eagles in town.
Yeah. No, this game and the 49er-Ram game look to be the two premier games this weekend, really better than any of the primetime games in a lot of ways, although the Monday night game is a decent game. Really split action on this game right now. The ticket count's about exactly even. We've got Minnesota -3, -120. There was some sharp money, I guess, in the offshore market yesterday on the Vikings. We saw the offshore books moving up a little bit on Minnesota. I kind of lean to Philadelphia here. I'm probably going to pass on this game, but I do think as Philadelphia gets healthier that they're very likely could be the best team in the NFC. And I don't trust Kirk Cousins. But Minnesota is a good team at home, and they've got a good defense. They just need to stick to Dalvin Cook on the ground.
You said all the things I think, and I have to stay away as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that one. I was trying to get a third play this week. Because every week I keep just giving you two, and I wanted to give you three this
week.
You're
hot, though. You're hot on those
2-0
picks.
Yeah, no, been doing good this week. But I got obviously, you know, I got Jacksonville, but I'm going to give you another one as well.
All right, so we already touched on the Skins-Fins game. Let's go to that high profile Niners Rams game. And we'll talk about the bonanza, but I kind of fell asleep at the wheel during the game because I was watching some other games and I forgot to play back at the bonanza. And then I got greedy as well. So I got burned.
I didn't watch one play of the Rams Seattle game. I mean, literally, I didn't watch one play.
Really?
I was watching the Nationals Dodgers game one.
Yeah. No, I know. I was too.
And there was never a moment. Like, I flipped over at some point. During game two of the National Series, I did flip over to watch the Cincinnati-UCF game, but I never had any interest in flipping over to the Rams-Seahawks game. It wasn't a big decision for the book.
Well, there was a giant moment that was just straight up for you.
Kicking is for losers.
Pete Carroll, at the end of the first half, completely botched it. I don't think the Rams would have come back from this. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
About a minute 40 to go, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was 220. I don't know why I have those numbers in my head. But anyways, 4th-and-1 on like the 38-yard line. End of the first half. He kicks a field goal.
On the 38-yard line?
Something like
4th-and-1?
Yes. It was. Wow. It changed the entire game.
Yeah.
Because, and we talk about this, like these coaches operate in a vacuum as well. He missed the field goal. The Rams get the ball and then like go and score a touchdown right before half.
Of course, he missed the field goal. It's a 56-yard field goal. We should have a new shirt like "Friends don't let friends kick field goals" or "Friends don't let friends punt on plus territory."
So I apologize. It was on the 30-yard line. So it was a 48-yard field goal.
That's a little different, but still. And it was four. But it was 4th-and-1. I would have gone for it.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: if you get the first down, like it's better. Like to punt than to kick the field goal, like you can pin them and they haven't done.
Yeah.
If you can get the first down, you can then dictate that the Rams don't see the ball the rest of the half. That is so important, and that's what these coaches don't get.
it's never the right thing to punt on from the 30-yard line of the other team. But I know what you're saying. The ability to make it so that they never have another possession. That's the thing these coaches never take into account, is the value of possession of the football. Well, I shouldn't say never, but they rarely seem to take that into account. Having the ball is a valuable commodity.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was being exaggerating, being a little jokey,
I know.
That's why Belichick deferred for all these years, and then these other coaches are finally figuring it out. Because you get a back-to-back possessions. If you can do that, that's a huge plus.
Oh, of course. And if you can get that fourth and one, then there's not only will you be inside the other team's 30-yard line, but you can pretty much guarantee that the Rams won't have the ball for the rest of the half. If you kick the field goal there, even if you make it, the Rams are still going to get a possession, and they're going to get likely a possession with decent field position if you make the kick.
Right, so you could be net zero or net minus four very easily. Yeah. Whereas if you go for it, you're net zero. It's just, it's so
ridiculous. I can tell you're upset about it.
It was ridiculous because they were up eight and dominating.
Yeah.
So I just,
you're absolutely
Pete
right.
Carroll,
I mean,
it just made no sense. It just made no sense. So anyway, the Rams.
I love Pete Carroll, but that sounds like a disastrous decision.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't hear about it. That was a classic kicking is for losers moment. But
so, there were some people tweeting at me, but I was just focused on the baseball. It's the playoffs.
I know.
It's the playoffs. I mean, what?
It was very Jim Mora-esque of you, the way you had a high pitch there.
I can't get excited for these Thursday night NFL games. I just don't care. I mean, I root for whatever the book needs. We really didn't have a decision on that game, though, I'll tell you the truth.
Okay. So Rams laying a full three here. Some 3.5s out there, minus 20, I should say. With the are the Rams really going to lose three in a row?
We got 320, and I don't want to sound like – I don't want to be overboard here, but I do think it's almost a must-win game for the Rams. If they lose this game, a home division game to a team that would then be 5-0 in the 49ers, they could almost kiss any chances of winning the NFC West goodbye. And that NFC wild card race, the NFC North is so deep. The NFC West is pretty deep. Dallas or Philadelphia will be certainly be in the mix for a playoff spot. So the Rams could really be in trouble if they lose this game Sunday. They might miss the playoffs, the Super Bowl hangover year.
Where do we stand on Goff?
I don't think much of him. I don't think he would succeed in another offense besides Sean McVay's offense.
Huh. Because he puts I have him 18-1 to lead the league in yardage. He puts up numbers. He was great in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, he was actually. He made a tremendous throw in that game for a touchdown that maybe got forgotten a little bit. But and then I think everybody focuses on his struggles in the Super Bowl. But that was against Belichick.
Yeah,
I just can't stress enough how much.
And he had a drop in the end zone. Like the safety came over and knocked it out of. Who's the receivers? Brooks?
I don't remember.
I'm having like senior moments here.
Too long ago, man.
Yeah.
But I can't stress enough how far above I think Belichick is than all the other coaches.
Right. Well, I'm with you.
It's amazing to me that in an industry as big as NFL. Oh, it was Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Like, imagine a $10 billion a year industry and there's one person who's this much smarter than everybody else. It's kind of unfathomable, but here we are.
I know. It's funny. It was Saban. People talk about, they hear his salary, and they're like, he's overpaid. I'm like, no, the people below him are overpaid. He is underpaid.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what Bob Kraft is paying Belichick, but believe me, he is very underpaid.
Gosh. So Rams must win. Niners.
I think so. It sounds like hyperbole, but I don't think that it is. I mean, what if Seattle wins on Sunday morning against Cleveland? They'll be 5-1. And the Rams, with a loss here, the 49ers would be 5-0, and they'd be 3-3. They'd be really in trouble in terms of getting back into the postseason chase.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I'm not ready to call it a must-win, but I see where you're going with this.
Very split action at the book. Nothing to really report there. Take accounts about dead even. Definitely one of the better matchups of the morning.
Atlanta, and it's a running joke now, but it's like nobody can quit them. Falcons.
Yeah, and they're all on them this week, too. I mean, the tickets are like 7-1 on the Falcons, even though they stink and they should probably fire their coach. But we'll need the Cardinals. It'll have a little bit more volume than it normally would just because it's in the afternoon and there's less games to choose from. So Atlanta or Arizona is going to be a side that the books are rooting for.
And that number's come up a little bit too.
Yeah, it's moved up a little bit. No one is betting the Cardinals, so you might as well move it up a little bit.
Right. It's going to hit three and a half, you think, or just three?
Not three and a half, but you may see some threes. You might see some threes out there. But who's Atlanta to be laying 3 points? They're awful. So Dan Quinn, now that Jay Gruden's been fired, I got to think he's the next coach to be let go.
It's amazing. They had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. And now look where they are.
And I know Shanahan gets a lot of credit for that, as he should, but still, just amazing how this team is unraveled.
Again, Belichick. It always comes back to Belichick. He's just that much better than everybody else. But yeah, I think most of the blame there should be on the Falcons blowing it even more so than Belichick's greatness.
Fair enough. This game really, we talked about it yesterday briefly, but I like the Jets here catching 7 at home against Dallas.
Yeah, everybody's on Dallas big time. So this will be probably our biggest need of the day in the NFL. Yeah, it will be. This will be our biggest need of any game in the week. We'll need the Jets huge. This is the premier afternoon game. Like, I'm sure it's like the America's game of the week or whatever they call it. So everybody's on Dallas. All the parlays will have Dallas, Dallas money line, Dallas teasers. The books will need the Jets huge. Keep an eye on the injury report. Lyle Collins, the Cowboys. Tyron Smith is not going to play with a high ankle sprain. So we saw how much the Cowboys' key offensive linemen mean to the success of that offense.
Yeah, I'm surprised everyone's going to be on the Cowboys. They've not looked good. I'm surprised.
But the Jets are 0-4. The Jets are
0-4.
Yeah, but
Darnold's back.
I know, but the public, he's not going to look to back the 0-4 Jets against the Dallas Cowboys. Well, we're going to need the Jets in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I can see why no one's betting the Jets. Don't get me wrong. I'm just surprised so many people are in the rush to bet the Cowboys.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're betting the Cowboys. They always bet the Cowboys for the most part, and they love those road favorites. You know that.
Right, but short numbers usually, not here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are people out there that would think 7 is a short number.
Fair enough.
But I can remember that week that Kansas City, when Kansas City was at Detroit and New England was at Buffalo, Everybody was betting Kansas City and New England, say, oh, how can they be favored by so little? And I know they both won, but neither of them covered those near touchdown point spreads.
But they were facing undefeated teams. It's different. those numbers were high, no doubt. All right, Tennessee, Denver, Broncos finally in the win column. It was about time.
Yeah.
And
they got off the schneid.
The Titans, yet again, another game where the underdog wins outright. They, in all 5 of their games with Tennessee, the underdog has won the game outright.
Mike Vrabel with some kicking is for losers moments on Sunday. I was watching that game. What was he doing kicking that field goal down 14-7? I think his kicker had already missed like 2 or 3 field goals. And he kicked a field goal down 14-7 at like the 30-yard line, 27-yard line. I don't know what the hell he was doing on that one.
Yeah, I don't either. I wasn't keeping a close eye on that game, but you know what I don't hear a lot about are those Titans fans mocking me for my under season win total play. I haven't heard a lot of that from them since week one.
Yeah, and it's disappointing that you still really no strides made by Marcus Mariota, the Titans quarterback. I mean, he really hasn't improved at all since his rookie year, and I don't know why not. I guess, I mean, he doesn't have great weapons around him, but for a second overall pick, he really should be further along than he is right now.
He's not good.
No,
he's
not.
Just not good. They're going to go to Tannehill at some point.
I think the only reason Mariota's playing is just because he was the second overall pick and they've got so much invested in him.
He's not. They're going to go to Tannehill at some point. So I have no opinion. Denver lane 2 here. Any sharp action or anything?
No, Tennessee's going to be a popular teaser side going up through 3-7 in a low total game. But other than that, I don't really expect high volume on this game.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're getting any volume. Let's go to Sunday night. Chargers laying a 7 or 6.5 at some places with the third string quarterback now for the Steelers.
Yeah, we actually are at -7 even money on the Chargers. We had a guy bet 20,000 on the Chargers -6.5 at this book. So here's something really interesting, because I always talk about how the sharp guys love to fade the the Chargers when they're a home favorite.
Correct.
I guess we finally found a dog they don't want to take. No one is betting the Steelers. Steelers plus 7, minus 120 has been sitting there for a couple days. No takers at all. So maybe the third string quarterback is finally scaring people off of fading Phillip Rivers as a big home favorite.
I want no part of Pittsburgh either. They're not yeah, that good. They're not good, let's just say.
No, they're not good. And, I said Dallas will be our biggest liability, but it might end up being the Chargers just because it's the Sunday night game, and the Sunday night game is usually the highest volume game of the day.
I will say he looked better than Rudolph. Rudolph's terrible. All his passes were like behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to evaluate Hodges, just kind of rushed into the game like that, and the Chargers are going to get a full week to prepare for him, a luxury that the Ravens didn't have. So it's a lot to ask of him. But the Chargers are a very banged-up team as well.
And they're not that good.
Well, no, not with all these guys hurt, they're not. I mean, I think when they have their roster, their full roster, that they're a very, very talented team. But with the number of injuries they have right now, they're not good.
And then the Monday night game, this number's come down. I think I saw 6 out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. It's now down to 4. Feels low. Feels a little low.
Yeah, well, everybody's betting the Packers, and the number's moving down anyway. I can tell you that much. So I wouldn't be surprised if this thing closed even lower, like maybe 3.5 on Monday night. We did open 6. You're correct. We're at 4 right now, and that's with about 2.5-1 ticket count on Green Bay. So I would keep an eye on that game. Detroit, a possible sharp side in the Monday night game. I think the value's probably gone at plus 4. You needed it to get it a little bit higher.
Yeah, I thought 4.5 would be the right line.
It looks like the sharp guys are weighing in on the Lions this week.
That's the big play so far in Jacksonville.
That's one of them. Yeah, I'd say Detroit's the number that we're seeing a lot of movement, a lot of money on, and that one's coming down. And other than that, yeah, I mean that's really the main one this week.
Gotcha. All right, buddy, you ready for this?
Of course.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, my man, you are a machine. Just punching out winners left and right. Well done. Is it 4 in a row?
For Mr. Musburger or for this show?
For this show. Yeah, 2-0 back to week.
I guess
back-to-back
I think I went 2-0 back to back weeks. Yeah, what was it last week? Buffalo and
Denver.
Yeah, Buffalo was. You know, I was watching the Bills game last Sunday, and it's their defense is so good.
It really is.
They basically just – Josh Allen, all he has to do is pick up 2 to 3 first downs on broken plays with his legs and not just throw ghastly interceptions on his own side of the field. He did throw one of those on Sunday.
I was going to say, there's no guarantee of that.
No, he usually throws at least one. But all he needs to do, he's got the ability to pick up a first down from like a broken third down and keep the chains moving and then shift field position. So I think he does have a lot of value there. He just has to stop with these awful interceptions. Buffalo's going to make the playoffs. I think Buffalo's got 5 games left against teams with 0 wins this year. So Buffalo's in a really good spot. They're not going to finish ahead of New England, of course. New England's going to win the division again. But Buffalo very well should be in the postseason this winter.
I think I've mentioned it here. We did 5 plays I like following the NFL draft, like my 5 favorite plays, one of which was the Bills at plus 500 to reach the postseason.
That was a good pick. And we had a guy come in the summer, and he bet 30,000 on them over wins. So, you know, over, I think, 6.5. So good for that guy. He's sitting pretty. There's no doubt about that. I'm actually pulling up their schedule right now. I mean, they play the Dolphins at home. They play the Redskins at home. They play at the Dolphins. They play the Jets at home. Even the Steelers are having a terrible year. So I guess 4 games left with teams with no wins, but they're sitting pretty, man. I think they're going to make it back to the postseason for the second time in 3 years. Their front office and Sean McDermott have done an incredible job.
Yeah, they really have. If Allen could just be a little better, they're really dangerous.
Mm-hmm. He just has to stop turning the ball over because he's got the arm strength. He's great with his legs. He just has to stop turning the ball over, and they're going to be fine. They've got one of the best defenses in the NFL.
So well done there with those 2 plays. I got hooked I had the 1.5 Murray.
Oof. Games never land one. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that was a big loss. So that one stung for sure.
Yes.
And I'm trying to find the stat that we are. So since 2003, there have been 76 situations where a team was favored by 1.5 in the NFL. Only three of them landed exactly one with that team that was favored by 1.5.
Wow.
So the favorite landing one. So
that's a tough one, man.
So people are like, oh, yeah. I should have done the money line. It's like, well, you really shouldn't have, all things considered. But
no, you shouldn't. But you did play the money line too, right?
Right. So I lost $2,300 on the bankroll bonanza.
Yeah, see, I would definitely rather have -1.5, -110. I mean, you don't ever want to look at just results and say, oh, I was right or wrong. You don't want to look at one result and say that it proves you right or wrong. I'd rather do the -1.5, -110, but I'm sure it stings when you actually lose the bet like that.
Yeah, it does. But that's okay. I should have played back, more importantly. I just thought Pete Carroll would not leave a one point lead on the. It's insane that he didn't go for it. It made no sense. You have Russell Wilson, the sneak. Like, just do it.
Yeah, and Greg Zuerlein misses what should have been the game-winning field goal for the Rams, too, right? So that's twice now. If you think back to the Super Bowl, he missed a field goal that could have at least made that a one-possession game, cut it to a seven-point game, kept the Rams' hopes somewhat alive, and then he misses that field goal on Thursday. So Zuerlein has been a little shaky lately.
Yeah, all these kickers. I mean, these coaches are forgetting that there's a chance that the kicks don't go in. I mean, it's almost like they just think it's automatic.
Well, it's definitely not automatic, and that's why you're seeing more of these teams go to the two-point conversions more aggressively, I think, because the one point is no longer guaranteed. We see the extra points get missed, so certainly we'll see field goals getting missed too, short field goals.
What's your play here? Are you going to go Jags?
Yeah, well, let me do the Jaguars first. Jacksonville -1.5. They're at home against New Orleans. I'll do that one for 550 to win 500.
You are a man of character. Because it is one everywhere. It's one everywhere, and you got to do it. You're doing the Westgate line. I applaud you.
Well, that's the challenge, right? It's a bet into the Westgate numbers.
Yeah.
Pick against the Westgate numbers.
Yeah, it is. Although, I hate that because it should be like you shop around, right? It should be.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're the one that came up with the rules for your own bankroll challenge.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you hate your own rules? I don't know. No, I'm fine with it. Of course, I'm a man of character. I'm a Southern gentleman from Virginia.
Yes, that is true. And you're a man of ethics behind the counter as well.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go. What's the juice on your first quarter total? Over under 7.5.
When I looked at it, it was under. Oh, you know what? It moved actually while we were recording. Right now, it's under 7.5 -0.25. It was -130 when we.
Oh, so yeah. It came back a little bit.
Yeah, it's better for you if you want the under.
Better, sorry.
Yeah.
When you said a quarter, I thought it was like 120 earlier. I thought I saw.
Oh, no. It was 30. We're at 25 right now.
I'm going to take the under there for a nickel.
Okay. Do you want me to do
a little immediate action? Let's get this thing graded right away.
Well, you're big on getting those Thursday night plays in. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, it worked well week one. I should have at least lost juice last week and scalped it and whatever, but I did not. I'm an idiot. So that's my first play. I hate this card, by the way. I really hate this card. I hated last week's card as well, but I've actually done pretty well in my pick 'em, so maybe I should show more confidence. But I really
you got to be confident, man.
I don't
shoot
like
or shoot.
Card. So what's your next play? Are you taking the Jets?
No, I'm not going to take the Jets.
Okay,
I mean, I want to, but I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to take Cleveland +1.
Ooh.
I'll do that one for 550 to win 500 as well. I think the number has shifted a little bit too much. People are writing off Cleveland, maybe going a little overboard, all the Cleveland's finished articles I'm reading. And it's a tough spot for Seattle to go to the East Coast, play the early kickoff, and a hard game for the Seahawks to get up for. An out-of-conference game. Cleveland needs this game so much more than Seattle does. So I'll take the Browns +1 here.
Do you think this Jets line goes up?
I think it's very possible. I mean, you're going to have so much money on Dallas coming in between now and Sunday. It's certainly a possibility. I'm looking at the offshore market right now. There's some +7 even money here in town, +7, -105 here in town. And I, well, actually, one book in town, you can actually get +7.5, -120. So certainly, there's a decent chance you'd get a 7.5 if you waited.
So even if these Cowboys players are ruled out and stuff like that, you think the line will keep going up?
If the I think the public is just going to keep betting on Dallas. The public doesn't even know who these offensive linemen are. You know, if Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott was ruled out, that'd be a different story. But yeah, I think there's a decent shot you'll get a 7.5.
All right, so I'm going to wait on that then.
Yeah, but you can get a 7.5 right now if you want to lay -120, not at our book, but at other books. So that would indicate that it's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for that.
All right.
Then we're going to do a little Twitter plays here. I need to get back in the mix. I also really like Cincinnati's team total because whoever the Ravens play, I like to take their team total over. But can I really lose twice in 3 weeks on the Bengals team total over?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you go down that road on a Monday night game when they scored 3 points? I don't know.
They have no offensive
line.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I can't do it. I just think the Ravens defense is
like
terrible.
It's not good, but I don't know. I mean, the Bengals, I feel like there's got to be a better place for you to put your taxed income here, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so maybe just one play for me, my friend. I like the Chiefs game over, but I want to be careful there. I got to.
You're getting awful careful in your old age.
I'm down. I got a low bank.
You're getting real cautious. You're not the DK that I knew 10 years ago in Las Vegas. But
I mean, I think the Patriots are going to cover tonight.
Yeah, that's the DK I know. That's the guy.
But I can't lay 17.
A lot of injuries for the Giants, man.
I have a coworker who thinks they should stick it to Eli one final time and make him start this game.
That would be funny. Yeah, so many guys hurt for the Giants offensively.
Yeah, protect your future. Don't start Daniel Jones here.
Yeah, it's not a bad thought. And they're going to lose this game either way. What's the difference? Can let Eli go out against the team that he had his two best moments against.
Yeah, and just be a statue back there.
Oh my God! New England's got a great pass rush. I think they told me they're. I did a show this morning with Mitch and Paul Howard, and they're saying that the Patriots have had at least 5 sacks in every game this year. That's pretty good. Now a lot of that's because they're always ahead, so their pass rushers can tee off. But I give them a lot of credit, man. The Patriots defense is very impressive.
So I was on the Vikings last week, and it wasn't as one-sided as the score indicates. Kirk Cousins had some ridiculous throws. He really thread the needle on a few. And the offense had, there was like a couple bombs that were almost completed. And then there was a PI. So they could have not covered, let alone win by 15. So I want to take the Giants team total under 11.5, but I think I'm going to have to pass on that. That's too low.
Yeah. That's pretty low. I mean, you could get a garbage time touchdown when the Patriots don't care anymore, have it go right over that number on you.
Well, the Jets were 10, and I took the team total under there because, I mean, you had Luke Falk, and it was just pathetic.
And they get the pick six, right?
Pick six and the muff punt.
And the muff punt. Yeah, I mean, when you're betting underneath these really low numbers or over the really high numbers, you just don't have the same margin for error.
Right. But it's like the wind and rain. How many times are the Giants going to cross midfield?
It's going to be tough. I mean, with all their guys hurt, it's going to be tough. Again, that New England defense is suffocating.
So cross the 40. I mean, how many times are they going to the scoring zone, so to speak?
I can't talk you in or out of the play. That's up to you.
All right, that's a pass. We're going to go first quarter under.
All right, you're in on the first quarter under. You're going to probably add on Twitter as we get closer to kickoffs. Is that correct?
For sure.
Okay. I'm just going to stick with my two. I like Philadelphia +3, but I'm going to pass on it for now. That was the other one I was considering. Philadelphia +3 even money, but I'm going to pass.
Okay. So you're passing. Okay. All right, sir. I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. Hopefully I can give Mr. Musburger another W with Jacksonville, and he's happy with me now.
What's the reaction been like? He's been treating you well?
Yeah, he's been very nice to me. In fact, he saw me. I was waiting to do another show, the next show, and he saw me like standing outside the studio, and he's like, "Oh, John, get in here. Jump on with us." So, you don't get that wave in when you're giving him losers. So clearly he's pleased with my performance, which is good.
What's your first half team total for the Patriots?
We don't have first half team totals.
Oh, that's garbage.
We only have the first half. I can give you the first half total. It's 21 over minus 120.
The Patriots' first half team total, I think I saw 16 and a half somewhere. So not expecting a big first half out of the Giants.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, the game is 10 and a half. The first half is 10 and a half. The total's 21. So you can probably do the math.
Yeah, 15-5 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, dude. We will talk next week. Congrats to your Nats.
Thank you, sir. Hopefully the Nationals, if they can get by the Cardinals, I'll definitely make it home for a World Series game. But we got a long way to go against a tough Cardinals team first.
You got it, bud.
Talk to you later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. As I mentioned earlier, no Mike Clay. Hope he feels better and can get us some winners moving forward. Travis, are you going to survive with just one guest today?
I think I'll be good. My life easier.
Yeah, makes your life easier. I try not to, so I try to throw you curveballs. I'll mix things up a little bit. You got any plays for us? You like any games?
Patriots.
You like the Patriots tonight to blow them out?
Yeah.
It's a big number. A lot of lumber there. A lot of lumber.
I think you're talking about the Chiefs. The Texans are on this high right now. The Chiefs low. I think the Chiefs might be a good little.
That's the one play. That's another play I almost gave out. I think I'm waiting for that line to come down too. I think I can grab some fours. Westgate, they're at 4.5. I think I'm going to grab a four and just lay the hammer. That could be a hammer time.
Not a bad move.
All right, my friend, and thanks to everyone listening. We'll see you back here next week. Obviously, we have plays on ESPN's chalk section. Every Friday, the NFL plays. Every Thursday this morning, the college plays were posted. And obviously, we have a Wednesday podcast as well. That's going to do it for us. Catch you next week.